You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore.
Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Command Sharia. Today, let's talk a little bit of scout craft. Specifically, we're going to be talking about and be able to do some wayfinding. It can be in canyon country, in desert country, and it can work as well in other areas. I primarily came across these resources for desert country, canyon land, and that's where I actually took it to the test. We can call this lesson the hawk and the hare, or spotting desert trails. Now, in our most recent research trip to the Southwest Desert and Canyonland country, one of the primary intents, beyond fun, of course, and frolic and such, and visiting some of the historical archivists that communicate with, and grab more crates of stuff and resources to bring home, I wanted to also put to test some old school tips and tactics about wayfinding and finding your way around in certain situations. Because, again, as you know, what we do in the Black Box Brotherhood over there at the website, theextremeselfprotection.com, is everything's tested and make sure it really works. I mean, from the historical stuff in the old days, I mean, that could be the boxing, of course. It's the wrestling. It's the old school frontier rough and tumble. Also, it goes down to the scout craft, the indigenous ways, the old school conditioning techniques. If it's we test it to make sure this still holds water. And then we look at more recent resources to see if we can find some scientific explanation for why it works so well whenever passed test. Well, like I said, on this recent research trip, I'm going to test some of these old ways about wayfinding. We wanted to do this to have goal destinations, and some of that was actually finding old Indian ruins, and specifically Sinagua Indian ruins, with some of these are dating back to 1200-1300 BC. And some of the ways to do this is to find out where in desert country, we know there's hard to find water resources. Springs are only occasional. Most of the time you're looking at snow melt, snow pools, find where there's runoff around cliffs, where there would potentially be a wash in a dry wash area. And so we posted a short video to social media on one aspect of this trail finding material. But again, to do this old school wayfinding, this the Indian ruins, what would happen, we'd use approximate destinations. I would use old desert explorer, scout, settler, cavalry accounts to see where some of these they're listing, having come across some of these ruins and these dwellings. And then we would ballpark these vague approximations of these former cliff dwellings or cave ledge villages and pocket canyons, fortifications, etc. And I know me just saying this doesn't really help if I think whenever we post this on social media, I'll throw up tons of photos so you can see some of these things I'm talking about. It's absolutely extraordinary, incredible stuff, and it's out here. It's seemingly in the middle of nowhere, and yet you can get to it, and there's nobody there. And they're still there, 1,300 years old. Well, anyway, once we'd find these original resources, then we would use a comparison topography map from that time. We're talking old school military cavalry maps, and then see if the features that were being described pop up on these maps, and then we would then compare that to current topography maps and see if these features still kind of correspond, because there's not always a one-to-one a correlation between these old school maps. Sometimes it can be way off, but this was meant to be more of a puzzle finding game and testing these tactics of finding how to do the wayfinding in the desert, see if you can still find the old trails. And then whenever we do these current maps, we use make sure a little bit of a hack here. We don't use All Trails or Google Earth or the other commercial hiking tools. We use CalTopo. CalTopo is a backwoods tool used by smoke jumpers, search and rescue, hot shots, and other like hosses of the outdoors. It's more about unmarked backcountry than these other tools, because these ruins, for the most part, are going to have no designated trails going to them, at least not anymore. And again, why this choice for CalTopo maps and such and the ruins? Well, the ruins and villages to locate, these are not tourist destinations, all right? They lack designated trails. In other words, these destinations are out there. They're astonishingly copiously out there. But one can't simply, just get on Sutter's Trail and there you are. Or, drop a pin in your GPS and hike in with high confidence. It just doesn't happen. There's still many realms in this world that requires an app that is called YOU. So instead, what one must do is locate the reference in the old source. Then you cross-reference it to see if it is mentioned by other resources and see if additional clues pop up to help hone in. That'll be like saddlebacks on a ridges, conspicuous ridge lines, etc. Then you study those cavalry maps of the times and look for some of the referred landmarks. And then you take that over to the Cal Topo we just discussed that's used by search and rescue and see if a similar landmark still exists or pops up or a contour assist pops up as a possible correlation. Now, I find tracing configurations and counting contours in my head remarkably useful. Pulled this from an old resource from the Yavapai Apache. It's basically, instead of you just trying to look down and follow GPS coordinates, anything is you learn to count ridge lines and humps and where the slots are in the canyon. And if you just know, kind of get that ballparked, and I can move through. My right hand does this for the whatever the right side of the canyon is. My left hand is clicking off of the fingers in the left. I know, hey, this is approximately 2 miles in. I've got this many slot canyons. So this next slot canyon on the left, that's the one we're going to hit this dry wash and run up. And again, I've used this by just counting contour lines in a map while you're sitting there in your Airbnb and then, you know, mapping these out the day before. And then the next day going in, you're going, you know, sans tech. And it's just you trying to hold all that topography in your head, which is, you know, how these things used to be done. Well, save the Airbnb, of course. Anyway, whenever you do this, going out in the world app-free, man, I can't tell you, it is a remarkable feeling when you succeed without having to use the tech on it. Anyway, then you're going to grab your backpack, throw it on there, lock in your warrior walking stride, and take off. And when you're warrior walking, I've done much ado about that. And I'm telling you, man, this is just the way to travel in backcountry. It is efficient. And we're talking, you're at altitude, you're doing scrambles up and down places, and this is the way to go without getting any fatigue whatsoever. And I know it sounds like extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. Sierra material and warrior walking, I am not even kidding how useful this has been. It's had me duck hip replacement surgery. I guess it's going on 4 to 5 years now and doing some things that I never thought I'd be doing. It's just amazing. Anyway, back to the method. Now, the method when we do this is called the hawk and the hare, H-A-R-E, as in rabbit. So how do you find these trails that are possible to human habitation where there are no trails? See, that's the trick to these ruins. There used to be trails there. We're talking 1,300 years ago. And these trails, oddly, still have strange traces to them. We could easily go into exceptionally fine detail here about trail finding, and we will in an upcoming volume we're working on called Rough and Ready, Old School Scoutcraft for New School Adventurers. It's about taking how so many of these old school tips and tactics of scoutcraft that we've now have tested and go, hey, let's see if we can apply them now. But here I'm going to allow an excerpt from a 1908 book of essays by Mary Hunter Austin. It's called The Land of Little Rain. And this will help point the way we're talking about with the hawk and the hare. And here we go. I'm going to quote from her work here. It's about 2-3 paragraphs long. Quote, by the end of the dry season, the water trails of the Cerezo are worn to a white ribbon in the leaning grass, spread out faint and fanwise towards the homes of gopher and ground rat and squirrel. But however faint to man's sight, they're sufficiently plain to the furred and feathered folk who travel them. Getting down to the eye level of rat and squirrel kind, one perceives what might easily be wide and winding roads to us if they occurred in thick plantations of trees 3 times the height of a man. It needs but a slender thread of barrenness to make a mouse trail in the forest of the Saj to the people. The water trails are as country roads with scents as signboards. Okay, unquote. I'm going to stop it there for a moment. So hear what we're saying. She's saying you're moving through this desert land, and we're not seeing anything that looks like a trail, but if you drop on your belly, you get to the height of a rat or a rabbit or a hare or the gopher, you start seeing these little paths, these little highways pop up. It's absolutely turned out to be gloriously true. I have found that in our recent trips, actually mule deer were incredibly useful, as were bobcat. Back to the work from Mary Austin. Quote, it seems that man height is the least fortunate of all heights from which to study trails. It is better to go up the front of some tall hill, say the spur of Black Mountain, looking back down across the valley of the Cerezo. Strange how long the soil keeps the impression of any continuous treading, even after the grass has overgrown it. 20 years since, a brief heyday of mining at Black Mountain made a stage road across the Cerezo, yet the parallel lines that are the wheel traces show from the height dark and well-defined. Afoot in the Cerezo, one looks in vain for any sign of it, so all the paths that wild creatures use going down the Lone Tree Spring are mapped out whitely from this level, which is also the level of the hawks, unquote. I'm going to step away again. Again, everything she's saying, absolutely true. There's places out there which, if we couldn't, when we dropped down to belly level, couldn't find a trail. I'd push through the manzanita brush, get up higher, maybe 50, 100 meters, look back down, and sometimes you go, oh my God, right through here, there's a trail. And it's exactly as she says, you got to get above it. It's amazing how long some of these trails persist. Let's go back to Mary Austin again. Quote, I have yet to find the land not scarred by the thin, far roadways of rabbits and what not of furry folks that run in them. Venture to look for some seldom touched waterhole, and so long as the trails run with your general direction, make sure you are right. But if they begin to cross yours, ever so light, slight an angle to converge toward a point left or right of your objective, no matter what the maps say or your memory, trust them. They know. Unquote. And again, she's saying, trust the animals. They know where the water sources are, as did the Sinagua Indians, anyone who had to have habitation at these times. So if you're going off and you see the trails of the animals going, yeah, they're going this way, but I'm fairly certain this way. Well, likely we're wrong. We're carrying water. We think we know what we're doing. Water resources in most areas, and particularly in desert land, are huge. So if you're using this and finding some wise sources of water, then you know around there, if there are going to be some habitations, it's going to be nearer that. You're not going to be moving much further. Now, sometimes it's going to be some crazy weirdness. You're thinking, why is this way up here in this cliff? Did you all of a sudden stumble across this ruin? Then you're going to find areas of snow marks and runoffs, catching pools where snow has come over the side of a cliff and, you know, it hit and maybe give you maybe only a 4-inch deep pool, and you're thinking, in Canyonland, that's significant. And then likely there could be still some signs of habitation around there. Now, an application of all this from her essay is very poetically written, and it's gorgeously written, in my opinion. An application, it means to get down on your belly often, all right? It says, look for the game trails winding through the manzanita and other vegetation. Use these to start navigating to your potential water sources. I mean, this is once you've already, you know, studied your maps and think you know where there might be something in these areas. But when you're moving through, it's tough to move through cactus and manzanita just blindly guessing. But if you start finding these game trails, you're getting an idea what's going on, because often we'll get in there, you're going to find some scat from animals that still go up to these ruins, and then they're hanging out there. So, you know, they found them, they use them, the useful places, and they're nice, and they have shelter there. So it works for the humans, it works for these animals as well. So we had to keep in mind, if the hare, the rabbit, the gopher needs water in hard country, well, so did these prior human inhabitants. There's no sense in building too far from springs, pools, washes, and snowmelt traceries and elevation. Now, again, what if one can't find this small game trail? Well, that means you're going to have to trudge through the brush, get high, get some back view back down to where you were, and often this hawk's eye view opens up traceries that you never saw. Now, I've back viewed from an ascent of 100 meters or so after thinking, well, today's a bust. I mean, I've been down there, looked around, and I've dropped belly down. We can't find anything where to go. Trudge through, get high, look back down, and boom, bold traces in landscape that I never saw from ground level all of a sudden appear. In one case, upon looking back, I had been standing maybe a yard away from the old trace, and he had never spotted it. Once I descended, I stood in the old location where I was and hadn't seen it. I still couldn't see it, but thanks to that hawk's eye view, I now knew where to step and then where to go. Now, the result of all this, in our most recent trip, we did 6 days of canyon exploration. I went out there with the mind to look for 8 initial targets. I was going to consider it a success if I found 1 or 2. We found all 8, and we planned this in Knoxville before flying out, and that's damned satisfying. Elation doesn't begin to describe it. You're out there trying to hike to something that you don't even know is you can find if it's there. There's no clear direction to it. And then once there, we found 5 more using the drying pools and snow marks method mentioned, the social media, because once you're out there, you start going, oh, I see this and this, and it seems like it makes sense for something to be around here. You know, poking and prodding exploration, boom. There you go. Absolutely gorgeous. Like I said, if you head over to social media, I'll post up several photos of these. It's just jaw-dropping to find it, to come across it. If you're a fan of like National Geographic, I am, the magazine, it's just, I always see this and just, you know, the feeling it must be to be the first one to step into Machu Picchu or what have you. And I know I'm not the first one there at these places, but we're the only ones there when we find them. And it looks like from all the traceries, no one's been there in a while. So it's got the same feeling. Man, that's just as good. It's incredibly visceral. Now, all these finds were greatly assisted by the hawk and the hare method of changing perspectives to find the game trails. In this case, mule deer, desert hares, and bobcat traces. They were my totem animal guides in this. Bobcat tracks are exceptionally helpful in high cliff ledges. I mean, they know snow marks in weird areas. They find you find the bobcat prints, and you trail it to a snow ledge, and then from there you start looking up or down for possible clue for a ruin location. Doesn't work every time, but it was often enough to make you feel like a hoss explorer. Now, back viewing at elevation, the hawk allowed me to find additional ups and make cliff ascents where none were apparent from a downhill or a level perspective. If you've ever been in canyon land, you had to move around narrow cliff ledges. It's real easy to screw up trying to figure out which one of these is going to get you up or get you down without running into a place where you're either going to, just ain't going to make it. Now, the moral of all this little scout craft story for the day, or the moral for me at least, is it is more satisfying to explore, to discover, to test, to suffer many a, what am I missing here, than walk up on a curated destination, no matter how lauded. In other words, someone can say, hey, this is here. We're going to hike over to this thing. It's right here. We all know it's there. That, I've done many of those in my day, and I've enjoyed them. But once we've stumbled across this, being able to find things that haven't been seen in some way, that's, and then also knowing when you start out, I don't know if we can really find it today. But when you do, it's just so soul visceral, wonderful. Now, this discovery of the burgeoning skills they all have, well, as Duke Ellington replied when asked, what is jazz? I feel the same way about this ska craft. The response is, if you have to ask, you'll never know. Now, I wager if you've listened this far, you're one of the people who already know why we do such things and why you probably already do such things yourself, or why we all want to know more and do even more and know ever more. To read the fruits of one of these discoveries even further, have a look at our blog entry called the Tomahawk Cave. Amazing stuff there. And again, there's going to be for hundreds of scout craft, river craft, woodcraft tips and tactics. See our upcoming book, Rough and Ready, Old School Scout Craft for New School Adventures. And trust me, crew, it's as authentic as I can make it. And if I don't put it in the book if I haven't tested it. And of course, head over to our website, extremeselfprotection.com, for the Black Box Training Warehouse. I'm talking, this is hundreds of resources, books, videos, da, da, da. And of course, like, share, subscribe to the podcast if you like such old school ephemera. And guys, I thank you for listening to it. I appreciate your kindness. Take care of yourself.
Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musings.